The reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, and these can be found on page 163 of your pew Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at his Father, at the Father's side, has made him known."
Well, let's pray as we come to look at that together. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. We pray, Heavenly Father, that now, as we look at your Son, the Lord Jesus, would you give us light? And we ask in his name. Amen. Verse 14, we're camping out in verse 14 this morning. The Word became flesh. And it's a huge claim, isn't it? So huge, if your natural reaction is something along the lines of, "No, don't be daft, that could never happen," it might actually be a sign you've got your head around the scale of what it's saying rather better than some of us who look at that verse and think, "Oh yeah, of course he did." The Word. Who is he? We're introduced in those opening verses, aren't we? Do you know what it is to write a CV or applying for a job or a place at university or something? And in our insecurity, we work very hard to make ourselves look as good as we possibly can. We don't directly lie, because we could get into trouble if we were found out for doing that, but we take things that are true and stretch them to their absolute limit, don't we? So those few minutes when we led the team, when the captain was off the field, becomes cricket, first 11 captain. Those few words we picked up in cafes on holiday becomes Spanish, basic fluency. Well, now for a moment, try to picture the CV of the one we meet in these opening verses. Name, the Word. Other names, God. Address, with God. Date of birth, not applicable, was with God in the beginning. Achievements, made all things, verse 3. Personal qualities, life and light, come from me. It's not bad, is it? Hard to imagine improving on that. He, verse 14 again, became flesh, a human being, fully human, took on not just a human body, but everything that makes you and me human too, a human mind, a human will, human emotions, the lot. God the Son, who has been with the Father and the Holy Spirit from all eternity, became one of us. And the verse goes on, made his dwelling among us. You get home later, and you're about to get on with a lunch, perhaps, and someone kindly stops you at the door and says, Mary Berry is in the kitchen. You think, that'd be stupid. Of course she's not, unless you've got some connection with Mary Berry that the rest of us don't know about. Or you turn up at your local rugby club for training or to watch a game or something, and someone says, Maro Itoje is getting changed. You think, no, he's not. He belongs at Saracens. But at least, and I don't mean this in any chauvinist way at all, Mary Berry belongs in a kitchen. Maro Itoje in a rugby club, their natural habitats. But God the Son, here, in this world, the one whose place we've seen is with God the Father, now here with people like you and me, the one through whom all things were made, now part of what he has made, the one in whom is life and light, stepping down into a world that is so spoiled by darkness and death, the one who has always called heaven home, making his home in a world marked out. Well, think of some of the things that have made you and me shudder this last year. Terrorism. And migrants dead in lorries, and violent crime on the rise, and modern slavery, and anti-Semitism, and people queuing out the door at food banks, and the deepest political divisions many of us can ever remember. Him, here, God, here. And not just seeing what things are like here, like some head of state on a visit, looking out from the comfort and the security of an armoured limousine, but becoming one of us and really sharing our experience, tasting our pain. God the Son, as we saw so wonderfully in that poem at the beginning, way back in eternity, freely choosing to come here. The greatest miracle ever, people have said. Yeah, but don't be stupid, John, we might want to reply. You know, even if this one called the Word is real, which perhaps feels like a big if for many of us, what would he be doing here? Why would he want to come here? And just as we're thinking, John will maybe realise we've called his bluff and back down on his claim, he doesn't notice. Verse 14, he starts to really dig in. We have seen his glory. I'm not just telling you this Word became flesh thing, this God become man thing. Happened, he's saying. I've seen it. And suddenly we're reminded, maybe we realise for the first time, the claim that John is making, this is not some fairy tale, once upon a time in a land far, far away kind of thing. He's talking about it happening here in space and time, in history. It's that kind of claim. Which is why verse 6 of our passage, after those mind-blowing opening five verses, John suddenly brings us very down to earth indeed. You feel the bump as we get to verse 6? There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Different John, believe it or not. You couldn't make it up, could you? But the one who's gone down in history as John the Baptist, tramping through the dust of the first century Judean desert. Don't mind me, he kept saying to people, but don't miss him. The one you've been waiting for is coming. You must listen to him. God becoming man, John is reminding us here, not just some grand mythical idea, but a historical reality. It is one of the most distinctive things about Christianity, people have observed, the way among all the religions of the world, Christianity is basically unique in the way it puts its head on the block of history and invites anyone who wants to take a swing with its claim, not just about some vague God out there, but one who's actually come here. We saw it, says John, implication being if we'd been around, we'd have seen it too. That's why he's writing, because he doesn't want us to miss out on seeing this glory too. I wonder, have you ever given John a chance? actually taken the trouble thoughtfully to read on through the rest of what he has to say, really grappled with this claim he makes in the way that it perhaps deserves. Lee Mack, the comedian, has been creeping up my personal rankings of famous comedians over the last few years for a number of really good reasons, one of which is not just because of this thing he said on Desert Island Discs a few years ago, although if I'm honest, it probably helped. It got to the bit at the end of Desert Island Discs, if you ever listen to it, you'll know what I mean, where they tell you they're going to give you the Bible and the complete works of Shakespeare, and then you get to choose another book to take with you to your desert island. I'm glad you get the Bible, Lee Mack said, because I'd read the Bible. I think it's quite odd that people like myself, in their 40s, quite happy to dismiss the Bible, but I've never read it. I always think if an alien came down, and you were the only person they met, and they said, what's life about? What's Earth about? And tell us everything. And you said, well, there's a book here that purports to tell you everything. Some people believe it to be true. Some people don't believe it to be true. Wow, what's it like, says the alien. And you go, oh, I don't know. I've never read it, really. It'd be an odd thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Why wouldn't you read on? What have you got to lose? If you have, if you do believe, if you are trusting him, what a boost it is to our confidence to remember. This is history we're talking about here. And even more wonderful if the last few words of verse 14 are really true. See how it ends. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas is a time for fullness, isn't it? Whether it's the stockings, first thing in the morning, best bit of Christmas Day, I think it's all downhill from there, isn't it? So full of exciting things in a stocking, and the satsuma at the bottom, less bothered about that. Well, that tin of Quality Streets, you break the seal and you remove the lid and it's just full of those fantastic orange creams and strawberry creams and other good things like that. The wine glass on Christmas Day at lunch, just full of good wine. The plate heaving with turkey and potatoes, maybe they'll sprout too. You or me after lunch, just so full. You get the stuff out for tea later on. Do you do this as well? You just look at it for a little while and then put it away because you can't manage any. More than any other time of year, Christmas is about being full of good things. Well, that's great, says John, because you are going to love Jesus then. God comes to earth. What do we expect him to be full of? What do we expect to mark him out? Do you remember those moments at school when the head teacher walks in? Saw the door opening, we realised it was Mr. Daniel coming in. We didn't often think, great, it's you. More often, what have we done? What's he going to say? Kind of thing. So often full of disappointment and disapproval and detentions and things like that. God the Son comes to this world. Isn't he just going to be full of those sorts of things too? As he looks at who we are and what we've done and the way we treat him and the mess we've made of this world. No, says John. That's the wonder. Full of grace and truth. Truth, an idea that is quite out of fashion these days, isn't it? Yet don't we find ourselves longing for it sometimes in the middle of all our confusions and disagreements about things? Well, look at Jesus, John says. Do you see how things start to make sense when you look at him? Even the biggest things of all start falling into place. Who God is. Who God really is, not some hostile heavenly speed camera we sometimes imagine him to be, but a God of such love, he would actually give his son for people like you and me. What life is meant to be about, knowing him, enjoying him, being more like him. The uncomfortable truth of kind of people we actually are, so unlike God and disinterested in him, and those ugly things that we're so quick to criticize when we see them in others, actually so much a part of who we are too. Jesus, full of truth. and yet wonderfully. So very full, not of the anger and the rejection that we might expect if that's what we're like, but grace too. Grace towards people like you and me as well. Grace. It's one of those words, isn't it? Even if you don't quite know what it means, you know it's going to be something good because it sounds so good and it is such a good thing. Undeserved kindness, that's what it means. Jesus comes into our world bursting with that too. Don't believe me? Read on. See what he's like. Such kindness. Wanting us, get this, not just as servants, but verse 12, as brothers and sisters too. Look at verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children of the Father, just like he is too. Meet the family. It's one of those phrases, isn't it, that's guaranteed to strike fear into most people's hearts. At some point, even the best families have their moments, don't they? And some families are so hard, which is why for so many, Christmas is not a time to look forward to at all. Inviting someone in on Christmas Day to see how dysfunctional we all are can be quite a brave thing to do, can't it? Taking up someone's invitation to join them on Christmas Day to see how dysfunctional they are can be even braver. But it's not like that with this family. The one Jesus comes to draw us into, the one family that was there before the world began. God the Father, for all eternity, so loving his Son. Father, Jesus prays later in John's account of his life, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. The God who has always been love, now turning that love out towards people like you and me and inviting us to come in and be part of it too. As into the world the Son comes, becoming like us, that through him we might become like him too. Children of God as well, loved and delighted in by the Father, like the Son has always been loved and delighted in too. It's not a bad present to be offered at Christmas, is it? If you're trusting him, it's already yours. Loads of great things about being a Christian, aren't there? But this is the best of all. Children of God. If you're not yet trusting, can you sort of picture it? That offer sitting there, like a present with your name on under the tree on Christmas Day. What are you going to do? Let's pray as we finish. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that in your love for us, you became like us. You, the Word, became flesh and made your dwelling among us, a place we would never have thought you would have wanted to come. We thank you that you've done that in history, in space and time, where people could see. We thank you that through these accounts we can know about that today. And we praise you above all, that as we look at you, God become man, we see one who is so full of grace and truth. And we pray that by your Spirit you would help us to run to you for that grace and truth now. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.